You're listening to a Chicks Talking Footy podcast on Joy 94.9. What's not to like about that?
Talking footy. My name's Beck. I'm here with Motti and Breeza. Welcome, my friends.
Welcome to you as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Now, the risk of sounding like someone I don't like, it has been a big week in football, has it not?
Huge. Yeah. Always is, massive, though.
I know. Oh. Thanks, Gaz. I feel like every week, you're right, there's just something happening, more and more on field, off field, and tonight we are going to cover it all. Would you like me to tell you just a few of the very exciting things we'll be going through?
Go ahead, Paula.
Baby. Yeah. Whoa.
Gary, welcome back.
We're going to recap round three. We're going to do our famous dinner table chat. We're going to talk about AFLW trade, which is going off like a frog in a sock. We're going to preview round four, and then we've got a very special guest. She is one of my absolute favourite sports journos. Her name's Nat Edwards. She's from Channel 7 AFL. You name it, she's there. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, Nat's incredible.
Now, guys, round three. Does it feel like a short time or a long time that we've had the men's football back?
Long for me, because Richmond are performing poorly.
Do you back for Richmond?
Oh, yes. We'd never heard that.
I have never heard you mention them, Breeza.
That is new information. I feel like it's been going for a long time, but I want it to go for more.
I agree with you. And do you know why? Because we've had Thursday nights. Or, you know, Thursday, Friday, and that just makes each weekend feel longer or each round feel longer.
How do you feel about Thursday night football? Discuss.
I don't mind the occasional.
I love it. Yeah, it makes me feel like the weekend's already here.
I thought that too, but then I had the terrible experience last Thursday of my team losing, the Adelaide Crows losing to Geelong. And I can tell you that when your team loses on a Thursday, it's a bloody long way till the end of the weekend.
Yeah, it is. And to the next round. Yeah.
Even if they win, though.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I mean, Supercoach saves me, gives me an interest throughout the rest of the rounds. You know, it gives me a reason to look at my many football apps.
That's true. But it was a long time ago last Thursday. Geelong went down to Adelaide by 24 points.
Yes, that would have hurt, Beck.
It did hurt. And you know what hurt the most is Patrick Dangerfield always plays a cracker of a game against the Crows. I reckon he gets an extra spring in his step when he goes back to Adelaide Oval.
I think you're right. But I think he will end up being one of the best we see in this era.
Yeah, absolutely. Ever. And I think the thing I was thinking about, I was watching a bit of Gary Ablett that night. I thought, you know what? He's not going to play those huge high possession games that he has in the past, like he's 35 or whatever, but he's going to do enough brilliant things that it's worth having him around.
What brilliant things did he do?
Well, he just sort of appears. Like, that's what I always think about Gary Ablett. He just sort of appears in the middle of the play, manages to get the ball and sort of connect.
He's a bit more damaging, I think, with his disposals now because he's not just an accumulator.
Yeah.
He does something with it, like forward of centre. So I've been enjoying his new role, actually.
Because that was one of the hits on him. I mean, that's just because people felt they had to find something wrong or negative about Gary. But people used to say sometimes his disposal is not excellent, didn't it?
Yeah. And I'm loving the young kitty cats. Oh, God, they're good.
They are great.
I think I sent you a message during the game. They are really good kids.
I reckon this is the best I've seen Geelong in a few years, actually.
They've got a better balance, don't they, between young and older players. Yep.
And, you know, Port have done the same thing. We'll get to Port. But they've, you know, they've started with three, if not four, you know, first-year players.
Who have been brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on from the Crows losing. To the next game, Motti, your Bombers beat the Melbourne Demons.
They did. I tell you, Saturday is a great day when you win on Friday. It really does feel different. I felt like Patrick Dangerfield, big spring in my step.
Yeah.
Did you go, Motti?
I did not. No, Beck and I were at some comedy festival shows and then we whizzed up to the pub nearby and watched what did we watch? The last one and a half quarters or something?
Fair to say, Motti showed me a good Friday night.
Good. I watched this game and I thought, I think I texted you and I said I thought Essendon had lost their way, but then they found it again.
Thank God.
And I thought that was a really encouraging sign because Melbourne did get on top, but then they found a way to win, which good teams do. So I thought Essendon looked good.
I agree with you. I think that to come back and, you know, get in front again is great. Cale Hooker's going to be back, but Sean McKernan did his hamstring. Mm. So he kicked 4 goals. Now he's out for 5 weeks.
So good.
No. Gosh, there's just the injuries. I mean, and I'm not just restricting it to the Mighty Bombers, but, you know, so many injuries.
When does Big Joe come back?
2024.
Yeah. What do we think about Melbourne? I think Melbourne's a sad case and will continue to be that way.
I had a robust conversation with a good friend of our show, Dave Beckett, about Melbourne on Saturday morning.
Mm.
And one of the things, my takeaways for Melbourne was that I think they've underestimated the flexibility that Hogan allowed them for McDonald. Mm. So in our list management course, Moddy, remember we had to analyse a trade? I analysed that trade.
Did you?
And I said in my analysis that Melbourne were then banking on Tom McDonald to break even with his form of last year and Sam Wiedemann spiking in form for Melbourne to retain their position, and that just hasn't happened yet. So,
Bree, anyway, if someone from a club doesn't ring you any minute,
that's right,
you can show them your certificate. Have you got it framed yet?
No, I haven't actually.
But I think they lack heart. I think the club probably lacks a kind of a compass. You know how some other clubs, they kind of know their senior players.
Yep.
Grab it and run. You know when, but I don't think Melbourne have got that. I don't think any of their senior players really are standing up.
Mm. Watch this space, as they say in the classics. Yes. We'll breeze through a couple of the others. Sydney beat Carlton. I'm really enjoying watching Carlton. I don't think they're as bad as you might think they are.
I went to that game.
Said no one ever.
They had opportunities and they missed them.
GWS Breezer beat your boys, the Tigers.
Yeah, we hung in there, copped another few injuries and then got blown away.
You got none of your Fab Four now.
We don't have a captain or vice captain.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What a great day.
Yep.
So then speaking of senior players, so Cotchin.
Yeah, he's out.
Oh, he's out too.
Yeah,
he's injured.
He just did his hammy.
So Cotchin, Revolt, Rance, and Martin's not playing.
No leadership group. Yeah, we've got.
So who then will be the
captain?
On-field leaders? Because you haven't got Hooley.
No.
Or Grigg.
So I think our captain this week might be Nick Vlosten. Or Dylan Grimes.
Or Bree McCauley.
Or me. Or Peggy.
Or Katie Brennan.
Or
Katie Brennan. I mean, that's the obvious.
Yeah.
That is so the obvious.
She's in to plug a hole in the forward line.
Yeah.
The Lions beat the Power by 17 points. I'm loving the Lions.
So love it.
Love it. I'm going to get into that actually a bit in my dinner table chat.
Okay.
Do you think there's a different way that males and females support footy? I'll just speak for me, and I think you're the same. You might not be, Breezer, but we like a close game. We like someone who hasn't been, you know, who's been down for a while. We like to see them win and things like that. But, you know, let's not forget that Brisbane won 3 in a row not that long ago.
Yeah.
So let's not get too excited about them. Feel too sorry for them, I should say.
In the grand final rematch, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that phrase, I'd never have to hear it again. The Eagles beat the Magpies. That was a really good game, actually. I thought the Eagles looked really impressive. And I think probably a lot of people haven't kind of talked about them as premiership favourites, and I guess that's just because back-to-back's hard. But
they didn't do that last year either.
No.
Mm.
And the Magpies are no slouch, can I say.
No, they're very
good.
Their
midfield is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. That was a good game.
Then on Sunday, the Suns beat the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Which was pretty interesting after the Bulldogs' amazing performance against Hawthorn the week before.
And the other thing about things like that is the Suns, that's a win away from home.
Correct.
And Brisbane have won away from home as well, and that's not this week, but that's important.
When you're a non-Victorian team, you take all those wins away from home you can.
Yeah.
The Hawks beat the Kangaroos, and the Dockers only just beat the Saints, and I'm loving the Saints too.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Thank God for the poor Saints.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy with Beck, Bree and Moddy. We are up to our world-famous segment, the Dinner Table Chat. Welcome, guys.
Yes. We need dinner. We keep talking about this every week.
We need a jingle, don't we?
We do.
Well, we also need music, like just, you know, low-key dinner table music.
Well, look, you know what? We all bring something. We all bring something for the meal. Moddy, you're in charge of entree this week. What have you bought us?
Well, do you know what? I've been listening this men's season, these three rounds, umpiring. And I am not going to go down the route of every other whinging supporter that rings talkback stations. Umpiring is really difficult. The umpires, it is not their decision to award that 250-metre penalty thing. That's the rules of the game committee, and they're just doing what they're told to do. They may personally not agree with it, but they just have to execute it. Can you imagine umpiring a game with all those decisions and you have to make the right one in a split second?
No, yeah, no. I would not like to.
And
no.
so we hear people go all the time, oh, the umpires robbed us. And I get it if it was a couple of points and it was right at the end and a free kick went the wrong way. Essendon got some shockers on Friday night. But also there's teams that go, well, it was the umpires that killed us. No, probably the opposition kicking nine in a row.
Yeah, that might have helped.
That actually probably was the thing.
The game changer.
The game changer, yeah. I don't think Sicily pushing someone and then giving away a free kick actually lost the game for Hawks.
No. I think the thing that gets me is that I think the umpires can have an impact on the game in that exact circumstance you were talking about, Moddy, where, you know, if it's a free kick on the siren and it's even or, you know, whatever. But as a general rule, there is much more that goes on in a game of football than the umpires.
And also I generally sit up. You know, we all sit higher and look down on the oval. So we can see things moving around a bit better, or we watch it on the television and we can see 84 angles. The umpires, like the players, are just on the same level as each other. So, God, I mean,
I'll be devil's advocate. Do you think that it's over officiated though?
Yes.
Like there was 53 free kicks in one of the games on the weekend. Yeah. That is far too many. That is stopping the play, the player going over the mark, you know, time stops, turn it back on, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it's over-officiated. It's not as free-flowing as what it should be.
But I think it's that's not the umpires themselves that run out and go, let's really give a lot of free kicks. It's the rules of the game, or it's the AFL directives to them that says, right, you have to give a lot of free kicks for that or that or that, or stamp that out and no more, you know, remember when it was jumper punches or whatever.
I think to quote the great movie Frozen, they should just let it go a bit more.
Let it go.
They should.
Oh, we need that jingle, Gus.
They should do that. The other thing I saw was something on the internet the other day, the internet generally, which said, in what world do the teams need to have an equal amount of free kicks? Like, that's not, you know, how people always go, oh, the free kick count was uneven. I'm like, well, why do you have to have the same number of free kicks?
Good point.
And I thought that was a really good point, because people always like, oh, they need to even it up. No, they actually don't. Mm. They need to award the number of free kicks relative to the number of infringements that earned a free kick.
Yes.
So thank you, person on the internet, who I stole that off.
Thank you, Bec.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Moddy. That was a great entree. Mm,
thank you.
For main course, I've named my segment. It's called You Are Drunk, Rounds 1 to 3, Go Home. What thank you. I really, really love the start of the season. My footy tips don't love it, but I love sitting down and watching a game and not knowing who's going to win. You know, by about round 15, I guess, you're kind of like, oh, well, I know who's going to win this, unless it's a real shock. I really like the chopping and changing of the winners. And I think a couple of things I've really liked, I have loved watching the Queensland teams be successful.
Yeah.
I think I'm a big fan of a bit of evenness in the competition. If the Crows aren't going to win the premiership every week, every year I'd like to see it spread around a bit. I think it's great for footy in Queensland, because I think success breeds popularity for a club, and I think for the expansion of the game into Queensland, that's great. I've loved watching St Kilda win. I think that's really good. And Carlton, I kind of have enjoyed watching them not be as bad as I thought they were. So there you go. That's my take. But one little statistic I pulled out is, you know how at the start of the year they survey all the captains about who they think is going to win the premiership?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know it's only round three now, but of the top five clubs nominated by the captains, Melbourne is last, West Coast is sixth, Richmond is 14th, Collingwood is 11th, and Adelaide is 13th.
Is that their finishing position?
that they're the clubs that they thought would win the premiership. Oh. And I'm just saying where they are now.
Oh, right.
Is right down the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So that's interesting.
It is.
I mean, look, I know it's only round three. I'm not being dramatic about it, but I just think there's some interesting kind of things happening to keep us in the game. But my footy tips do not enjoy this one bit.
I've loved it as well. I like the surprise, you know, when you check your score and you go, oh, my God, someone says winning. I read an article about Stuart Jew that Tim Boyle wrote, and it was really sort of illuminating as to – you know, who he is, how he trained, how he played, and therefore how he's now coaching, what he learned at different clubs and things like that. It's really good. Have a look at that. And he said, something I learned from Paul Roos straight up was that you need to treat everyone differently but under the same set of standards. And I think that's really interesting, isn't it?
That is wise leadership, I feel.
I agree. So there you go, Stewie Jude.
He seems like a good fit up there, doesn't he?
Sure does.
With the
boys.
Boys, yeah. So do you think the ladder then, Beck, just getting back to your point, is a sign of the equalisation of the competition?
It might be, but then also it's like round three, you know. Like a couple of years ago, Sydney lost the first six games and then they made the finals. You know, Collingwood lost the first couple of games last week. Last year they made the grand final. Like, I just don't think that...
You can read too much into it.
But I'm going... I have anyway. Hence the basis of my segment.
There's been heaps of commentary on the other footy stations about, only three teams have been 3-0, you know, whatever those stats are, and then have gone on to win the premiership or make the top four or whatever. But this is a new year. It's like, what, just because they haven't in the past doesn't mean they can't now, which correct. I think is what you were saying.
But I think it brings interest to the game. Like, it takes a lot for me to think that watching Fremantle play St Kilda is a good way to spend my afternoon. But I was thoroughly entrenched in that game.
What was your did you have a little cheese platter or?
Of course I did, Moddy.
I'm always interested in you.
You know me, Sunday afternoon, bit of cheese
in your catering. Yes.
Now, Beck, speaking of Fremantle, St Kilda.
Oh, yes,
time for dessert. And I was on the couch watching that game. And you would have recalled an incident where Nat Fyfe collided heads with his St Kilda opponent. And it was pretty nasty. Like, it was a nasty concussion.
Yeah, the eyes were, it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Now, I would assume that there are stretcher protocols. Maybe in the minority there, but I'm pretty sure that there would be some stretcher protocols that each club would follow as to when they would call a stretcher. I can't understand why those protocols wouldn't have been followed for Nat Fyfe.
How did they get him off, so to speak?
They had two trainers grab him off the ground. Like, firstly, his eyes were rolling back in his head. It was a nasty concussion. He couldn't even get to his feet. Like, he was out. He was out before the St Kilda guy tackled him to the ground. And then trainers come on. Firstly, where's the neck brace? Like, he's got a concussion. Secondly, where's the stretcher? Thirdly, they pick him up off the ground, which would be,
against every rule of
first aid.
Yeah.
Dr. Breezer in the house.
And then they assist him. He can't even walk. He's basically legless, and they walk him off the ground. Like, it was a terrible look for the game.
Breezer, I'd like you to write a strongly worded email to the Fremantle Football Club tomorrow and find me the answer to this.
Well, yeah, if anyone who's listening knows.
Yeah, I don't think this got... It did get some publicity, it did get some traction, but I haven't heard what the protocol is. I'm really interested in when they have to call the stretcher.
Well, if you recall in the AFLW grand final, Chloe Shear was sort of carried off in that same way, you know, arms over two trainers. And then Erin gets
the motorised cart.
The motorised cart, sort of almost like a Moomba float, you know, it was so big and so much fanfare. And poor old Chloe.
That's right.
And then they had only one set of crutches.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, Chloe didn't have crutches.
You know, I sent a tweet to the Adelaide Crows with a picture of the crutches I've got at home and said, if you're struggling, guys, I can spare you a pair.
And?
They didn't get back to me.
No response?
No response.
But you have been given a free ticket to the change rooms this week.
Oh, yeah, they called me today and said I can go into the change rooms after the game. So
that's exciting.
I hope they don't see your tweet about the crutches now.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I might take it off you.
Can I say I'm surprised the Crows let me anywhere near that club. But anyway, speaking of the Crows, we got a message from our friend David Beckett, who was happy to hear me have to talk about my team losing to his team, the Geelong Cats. So always nice to meet the fans, Dave. Breezer, can I
ask... don't contact us again.
Correct. Can I ask you a quick aperitif?
Yes.
Because I know you have a view on this because I know you.
Yeah.
Michael Christian, the MRO.
Oh, yes.
How are we feeling about him?
I think he's actually got a very difficult job.
Yeah, I do too. I feel a bit sad for him.
I think he has to operate within the guidelines and the framework that he's been given. And in order for, you know, a decision to get to a tribunal, he has to grade it. Like, so he makes a subjective call on what he thinks the grading is in order for it to be a suspension or a fine or whatever.
And that's why I can't understand the criticism. So your mate Dusty this week, this is just my description of it, elbow to the head off the ball, right? So if I'm Michael Christian, I'm going through my little tick box of what constitutes what sort of conduct. I'm thinking it's head contact, off the ball. He's got boxes to tick that say 2 weeks, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's how it
works. He's got boxes to tick for impact, which then equals weeks.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he said that's what medium impact or
whatever. Yeah, so he graded it as medium, yeah.
So how is he supposed to do anything other than tick what those boxes say to him? And then I think surely the cover off in the system is that then it can go to the tribunal who can assess that.
Well, I think the criticism has been the other elements that he's able to take into account to make that assessment. So
the grey areas that he's allowed to interpret.
For example, the medical report in the guidelines, I think it says something about potential to cause injury.
Yeah.
So I think there was some criticism around the way in which he's interpreted the medical report and the potential to cause injury components, given that when it got to tribunal and the GWS player was called to give evidence, his evidence was that he suffered he required no medical attention, there was no concussion assessment, I didn't lose any game time, blah, blah, blah.
Of course he did, because that's the boys' code.
Well, that would have to go into the medical report, though.
But may I remind you, medical reports, and that's if I was a cynic and believed in conspiracy theories, medical reports come from the club of the injured player.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I think having the injured player involved in the tribunal doesn't give you anything either. I still think about James Heard and, you know, in the Swans player, was it Dunkley, who ended up with James Heard had that massive cut on his face in the prelim final. And I still remember James Heard on the football show and the footy show, and they said to him, why didn't you put him in? And he said, oh, because he didn't hit me. And he's sitting there with, you know, huge. So, you know, there's all kinds of problems.
And also there's precedent too. So there was previous precedent of low impact with similar actions. So
I think we should do a whole segment another day on this.
Oh, we definitely could. Yeah. Mm,
really?
But what a lovely dinner, my friends. It was lovely to have you. We'll be back very shortly to talk all about AFLW trade, period.
Hey, this is Western Bulldogs banner man Danny McGinlay. Sadly, I am not gay, but when I listen to Joy 94.9, I really wish I was, because this is awesome.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy with Beck, Bree and Moddy. We are covering all the big issues tonight, and one of the biggest this week is the AFLW trade period. I'm enjoying it. I forgot how much I love trade.
So do I. Bree and I, you know, as we always used to say, it's like Christmas.
Yeah.
We're mad for it.
It's been Christmas for me this week. Katie Brennan landed at Punt Road and it is huge news and I just love it.
Let's talk about that. That's the one of the big, well, that's the biggest signing this week, which, I mean, was rumoured for a while, but, I mean,
So when did you first hear it? Because I didn't until, like, towards the end of last week.
I reckon a few weeks ago.
Did you?
I heard something. But what has really interested me about that is the strength of reaction, I guess, from some of the Bulldogs fans on social media, being really angry, talking about disloyalty, all these sorts of things. And I guess it's coming from two aspects. One is they're saying Katie Brennan's disloyal because she's left the club. Might I add, after 7 years, but sure. And then secondly, that it's the fault of the AFLW system that doesn't allow players to be loyal because it only allows them 1 or 2 year contracts. Now, my view is, firstly, in relation to the contracts, you can still be loyal with a 2 year contract.
Absolutely, you can.
I mean, in the context of the whole competition's been going for 3 years, 2 years is a reasonable length of contract. So I think potentially the system may not be the problem. And then in terms of loyalty, look, I often get in trouble on this show because I talk about footy as a business, but I think people are allowed to make decisions for their own employment and their own future. And I think, you know, there's very few one club players anymore. And I think maybe I'm a cynical Crow supporter that players leave our club at the drop of a hat. So maybe I'm just used to it, but I don't think it means Katie Brennan's disloyal. And even if it does, is there any requirement for her to be loyal to her employer effectively?
I agree with you, Beck, because I think that, you're loyal when you're there. And who says that she's gone for money?
Well, that's right.
I mean, what if she just needed a change of scenery? Maybe she wasn't gelling with the group, a fresh start. Who knows? All of these things exist. And I always equate it to our own workplaces.
Mm.
Mm.
Everyone moves around.
Correct.
And if we are looking at the AFL as a business and players as professionals and full-time as they are, then they can move jobs. That's correct. Sort of what it is. I think it's fine.
And at the end of the day, you support a club. You don't support individual players. So you support anyone that pulls on your jumper.
I think that's so true. And that's why I've been kind of disappointed in the reaction from the players. And I was saying to Bree before the show, like when Wayne Carey came to play for the Crows, I did not love Wayne Carey one bit. But you know what? When he had a Crows jumper on, I supported him because that's my club.
How about all the Hawks who've gone crazy for Chad Wingard as if he's been there forever, and the Cats are all Lukey Dalhouse about it all, and you know. But that's what it is. However, I'm going to then flip back to, you know, Essendon's glory years. If Matthew Lloyd had left, as he was rumoured to at one point, I would have been very sad.
You would have been sad.
Probably not liked him. So,
but would you have been like saying hostile things about him on Twitter?
No, I don't bother with that. But I might have, you know, leant over the fence and yelled at him. As if I would have.
Well, like I was sad when Brad Ottens left Richmond because then he became like a dual premiership player at Geelong, but I got over it.
I was sad when Dangerfield left. I was sad when Tippett left. I was sad when Bock left. I was sad when Phil Davis left. I was sad when Jack Gunston left. Do you want me to go on?
Yes.
Jake Lever.
Oh, God. Can we talk about something else, please? What else has been happening in the AFLW trade news?
Well, so go ahead, Brie.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead, Moddy.
Well, this is not about a player, but it's about a coach, Bec Goddard.
Ooh,
yes. Her manager, Tim Lawrence, has said that she is interested in the Pies role and that the club are aware of that, but she's not yet made her mind up whether she'll apply. But that's an interesting progression, isn't it?
Because the Pies have parted ways with Wayne Seatman, which I don't think was a surprise to anyone.
No, but a credit to him, he spoke at the Best and Fairest. Which,
I saw that.
Yeah,
I thought,
it was incredible.
Top bloke.
Yeah, no, top bloke, yeah.
Who was it was telling us the other week that, it was Lisa Catto, wasn't it? Said people are unhappy down at Collingwood, and she said it hasn't been a happy club.
But you know what's interesting is when you go through this week, obviously they've been talking about people who are changing clubs, but one of the other big news stories has been who's been re-signing at the different clubs because they can sign, I think, 22 existing players. And a real big number of the Collingwood girls
have re-signed.
Yeah. So interesting to think what that means.
Mm. Big news landed just before our show with Dana Hooker transferring from Fremantle to West Coast.
Yeah, that's a big move, isn't it?
Yeah, massive.
And it will be interesting to see, I think, whether there's much movement between Freo and West Coast and Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Because what can they can sign up to 8 players, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, so they can, yeah.
So that's interesting how that news came out as well, because Fremantle put out their own press release this afternoon saying they'd signed 9 players, which were, you know, Ebony Antonio, Cara Dinellan, Kiara Bowers, you know, some of their top line players, and then it only came out a couple of hours after that.
Yeah.
And the other clubs who's gone on a signing spree is Melbourne. I think they've signed up their whole 22 at the moment. So, and the Bulldogs actually have signed up quite a few of their sort of main players. So
is Daisy coming back next year, Beck?
She hasn't said.
Yes. She's still on the list?
I'm saying yes, and she's at her playing weight.
Yes, that's
already.
Right. You told me that, didn't you?
Yeah, she and Sylvie will be there.
She's not on the list that they've signed, though.
But she's probably not unsigned? Or yeah, do you have to sign them every year, do you?
Yeah,
you
she'd have be to deactivated, sign wouldn't she? Remember they've got those deactivated ones?
Oh, yeah. Like men's football doesn't have to worry about mat leave, do they?
No. No, yeah.
They can have pat leave.
Oh, yeah.
Just some other movements. Stanton from North Melbourne went to Gold Coast.
And she's a Queensland girl, yeah. So.
And Drennan from North Melbourne went to Gold Coast too. So Gold Coast have started signing.
No, Drennan's gone to St Kilda.
No, Guttridge went to St Kilda.
Guttridge went to St Kilda. Yeah. Sorry.
Yep. Drennan went from Saints to North.
Mm.
No, to St Kilda from North.
Yeah.
Did she go to St Kilda?
Thank you, I was right.
Tori Groves-Little to the Gold Coast Suns from Brisbane.
Right.
So it's definitely heating up. It was very quiet the first day. I mean, yep. Katie Brennan was a big signing, but it was pretty quiet. And now...
So how long does it go for? 10 days or something?
Yeah, till the 17th, I think.
And then there's free agency list lodgement is May 3rd. Mo Hope's delisted. Do we think there's any hope for her to be relisted anywhere?
I think there is. I thought she had a pretty solid year for North Melbourne.
I think so too. My view
they
is...
didn't.
No.
They delisted her.
But...
My view is I reckon one of the expansion clubs might pick her up. Mm. You know how new clubs often like to have, you think when the Gold Coast men's competition started, they signed a few of those like Nathan Bock, Chad Corns kind of guys that were on the way out, but they could at least give the younger players a knowledge of how the
Campbell
game
Brown.
Works.
Yeah. Whoops.
I mean, these were interesting choices, but yeah. So anyway, watch this space, Remo.
Yes, definitely. Now, are we going to preview round 4?
I reckon let's. Why not?
Be rude not to.
Be rude not to. All right, it's all starting tomorrow night, Thursday. We've got Sydney taking on the Demons now. Are the Demons going to have their first win, Breezer, at the SCG?
No.
Okay, well, that solves that. I don't think so either. There's a big issue at the moment about the Sydney surface too.
Oh, God, I know.
We don't need any more knees done.
Well, they've demolished that stadium next door, so every single game seems to be played on... SCG at the moment.
So
and wasn't there the A-League played there and
injury.
I'm going to get it wrong, but either the coaches said, yeah, it's fine, and the players came off afterwards and said, no, it's not fine, or the other way around.
There was a lot of issues.
Some consternation.
There was. But apparently they said the game's going to be there, it's all fine, no issue, nothing to see here.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Friday night, this will be a good game, I think, the Pies and the Bulldogs. I think the Pies will win, but... The Bulldogs hopefully are the Bulldogs that played the week before last, not the ones that played last week.
Danger game for the Pies, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Mm.
May I just step back? Melbourne have named their – Melbourne Swans have named their teams.
Oh, yes.
And Melbourne have named Braden Pruce after Max Gorn's been really getting beaten up the last couple – you know, these first three rounds playing as a single ruckman. So they've named
– Prucey.
Saturday, Geelong taking on GWS Giants 1v4.
Good game, this one. The Cattery.
I think the Cats will be
too good.
Good down there. Mm. Who do you think sort of the keys on each? Is it Dangerfield and Canelio, or what do you think the matchups that are the important ones will be?
I think Canelio's been amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah. Whitfield's the other one I really like from GWS.
Did Kelly play last week? Josh Kelly?
Yeah, he did. He had a good game. Jeremy Cameron kicks a lazy 7, so someone might want to play on him this week.
Just note to self, Chris Scott.
Note to Chris Scott, if you're listening.
Motti, the Bombers taking on the Lions.
I know, that's an interesting game. I feel very nervous.
The rampaging Lions.
I know, Dad and I are going. We've already discussed catering.
What will you
He's
be having?
He's having a hot dog. He's a fan.
What will you be having?
Maybe a pie first. Quite possibly a hot dog as well.
Why not? Mix it up.
Do you think the roof is going to be open for this one? Oh, it's at the MCG. Of course it is.
Yeah, I hope it is.
It would be. Essendon play home games at the MCG. Well, of course they do.
No, we play both.
Yeah, you play both, don't you? I'm surprised this one's at the MCG and not Marvel, actually. Interstate game.
Breezy. Good, though. Breezy, your boys are down in Adelaide taking on the Power.
Yeah, this would... Look, my stance on this, if Richmond can turn the first month into 2-2, we would have taken that given what we've experienced.
Yeah, and the Power are a bit up and down. You don't know which Power you're getting, I don't think.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but, yeah, if we can turn 2-2, then we'd take that.
And Rockliffe was concussed last week, but there's sort of talk that he is going to play, but... You know,
and our mate Robbie Gray, there was an injury cloud over him.
He's done the list management course as
Think he'll play as well.
On Saturday night, I'll be at the cracker game of 17th versus 13th, which is North Melbourne and Adelaide at Marvel Stadium. Oh, God, it doesn't go off the tongue well, does it? I would hope the Crows would win that, but who bloody knows what might happen there. What do you guys think?
I think the Crows should win. They've got more class in the team.
Jacob's injury is a bit worrying.
It is. Actually, I read an article today from Mark Bickley. The Crows apparently, this was the first I'd heard of this, have this thing that they won't pay any player over $1 million. Mm. And Grundy's a free agent at the end of this year, and he's a South Adelaide boy. And Mark Bickley.
Brody Grundy.
Yeah, and Adelaide said the Crows need to throw everything they've got to get Grundy there because we need a backup for Jacobs because we can't play without him.
Mm. And how old is Jacobs? He'd be older than Grundy. Grundy's young. Grundy's only 25.
Yeah, he's in his 30s.
Is he?
Jacobs. He's 30 or something.
I think North are an eternal disappointment, so Crows should win it.
Also on Saturday night, the Derby.
Derby. Oh, don't get in trouble.
Oh, sorry, Danae, if you're listening. West Coast v Frio. I would have thought West Coast would have won that one.
West Coast.
Sunday, Gold Coast v Carlton.
Guess what?
Up there.
Who are you going to? I'm going to pick the Suns, and this could be the first time in 4 years that I've picked the Suns.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever picked them.
Or maybe ever. I don't know that I've ever picked them.
Thank you. I'm glad we were here for it, Monty. and then at Marvel Stadium on Sunday, Arvo St Kilda v Hawthorn. So
yeah, interesting, that one.
You'd think Hawthorn should win, but St Kilda's looking good.
Mm.
Well, look, that is our tips. I hope yours go as badly as mine are. We will be back very shortly with our chat with Nat Edwards. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy.
I'm Jason Tuazel-McSheen from the Purple Bombers, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Nat Edwards is a senior presenter on AFL.com.au, delivering daily AFL news and analysis to football fans across the country. She's also one of the lead hosts on Channel 7's footy coverage, an integral part of the game day program, and she's on radio as well. I don't know what she does in her spare time. Nat, welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. And, yeah, I barely have any free time, so I don't know what I do either.
Well, we're very glad you gave a few minutes of it to us, Nat. Now, everything we've read about you describes you as a sports nut. So tell us, where did this love of sport come from?
Look, just from a really young age, like I actually don't know where it's come from. I think sometimes my parents are super confused, but Mum and Dad, very active, so they played a lot of squash, still do in their 60s, and I just spent a lot of time on squash courts, and when I wasn't playing some kind of ball or racket sport, I was watching footy. So, yeah, I really don't actually know where it all comes from, but I've always just loved it, and especially like I played tennis and play footy as well now. It's just been always a part of my life, and it's something that I'm really passionate about, and I'm so lucky that I get to actually work in the industry where, you know, you can watch sport for a living. Pretty cool.
Now, you are an avid tennis fan. Which players do you love to watch?
Oh, I love Roger Federer. I can't go past him. He's probably one of my all-time favourites, but also love Ash Barty, and sort of a little bit of a connection. Her coach, Craig Tizer, used to be my tennis coach. That's my claim to some kind of fame in that regard, but I am nowhere near as good a tennis player as Ash is. And it's so terrific to see her finally in the top 10 of women's tennis at the moment. She's just going great guns.
She is amazing. Now, Nat, we mentioned up the top of the show all the things that you're doing. Tell us, what does a typical day in the life of Nat Edwards look like?
Yeah, so Monday to Friday I work at afl.com.au and the AFL app, which is super fun. Like, we have a really vibrant, engaging newsroom, lots of jokes being thrown around. But I guess my day sort of starts just sort of looking through what's coming up in terms of press conferences, what stories we need to be chasing for that day, where my camera crew is heading out. And I'll either head out with the camera crew to cover a couple of stories or press conferences, or I'll be back in the office sort of putting together either our footy feed news bulletin or whatever other show or podcast we're doing for that day. So it's like production stuff, like rundowns, working out, you know, what's the best content, graphics, things like that. And then at the end of the day, it's sort of filming shows, making sure that people's names are spelt right on supers, and trying to come up with new fun, engaging content ideas for all the avid footy fans out there, which is you know, what we're really after. And then weekends, it's watching as many games as footy as I can. And I've been really lucky to have an opportunity with Channel 7 this year on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings. So, yeah, it's been pretty full on, but it's super fun and I'm loving every minute of it.
Sounds like 7 days a week for sure. Or more.
Yep.
Now, can I ask you, when you were saying about preparing stories and researching and things like that, do clubs come to you with whispers about anything, or do you have, you know, moles in certain places that leak you information?
Yeah, so, I mean, every journalist tries to have a network of contacts that they have. So some are more extensive and more developed than others. So someone like a Damien Barrett, who's just come on board with us this season at AFL Media, has an amazing array of contacts. So he will speak to lots of people. He's constantly making phone calls throughout the day. Most of our journalists in our office are always on the phone, chasing news, hearing whispers, things like that. I'm a little bit more removed from that because I have such a heavy focus on the production side of things now, with a lot of our video news programs and all the rest. But yeah, you do get, whispers from clubs, even things like footy, big footy fan forums. They're a great source of whispers. And then you've got to obviously follow it up. So you get in contact with your sources at clubs and all the rest. That's sort of how things can eventuate that way. But yeah, so clubs do leak things. That's just the nature of things. Everyone likes to chat. So it's just making sure if you want to get into journalism, that's the best way to start, is just make contacts wherever you can.
Nat, you mentioned earlier your role on Saturday nights, and it was quite historical because you were appointed the first woman to lead host primetime free-to-air AFL coverage. I mean, that's a massive, I guess, endorsement of you. How did that appointment come about?
Yeah, I was a little bit embarrassed about all of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's such a great opportunity, and it's been amazing that Seven have put that trust in me, sort of hosting the pre-game on their Saturday night football coverage, and that's been amazing. They sort of came to me a few months ago now and just said they were looking to revamp their pre-game show and wondered if I would test for it. So I did a test. I was actually sick that day, so I didn't think I did very well, but they offered me the job, which was so exciting, and they've put a lot of trust in me, which is amazing. But I mean, there've been women, you watch Fox Footy, Sarah Jones, Merrily Meadows, Kelly Underwood as well. These ladies have been, you know, headlining footy coverage for a number of years now, and they're certainly blazed a trail for me, and I've just been lucky enough to get an opportunity on Channel 7, who are finally looking outside the box and discovering that women also play a really, really important role in footy coverage these days.
Now, Nat, speaking of blazing of trails and all of that, the importance of women in football and in media, what has the introduction of AFLW meant to you?
Yeah, it's been so exciting. I mean, I think so many people were sceptical when, you know, the AFL came out and said, look, we're going to put this women's league together. And it seemed a little bit rushed. I think people were genuinely sceptical as to how it would go, whether it would be a success. And we've just finished the third season now. And you have to say the standard has gotten so much better. And it's really exciting. I mean, we're getting four new teams next year, which I think is maybe a little bit premature. I do have some reservations about growing it too quickly. But what the AFL has done has been terrific with the Women's League, and what it has given is women a lot of hope and belief that A, they can play football, but B, you can be involved in the industry even if you can't play. And I guess one of the biggest impacts the AFLW has had on me is I actually decided to go and play local footy, and that sort of, I never thought about it. It just, I'd played till I was 12 and then got told you can't play with the boys anymore. And at the age of 30, a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, well, there's all these AFLW players who are about to, you know, start running around. Why can't I do that? So, and I think that's what we've seen. We've seen a huge increase in women's and female participation in football, and the growth of local women's teams. It's just been phenomenal, and I think that's probably one of the biggest impacts the AFLW comp's had so far.
Who did you play for, and are you still playing?
Yes, I played for Old Campbell in the VAFA. And yeah, still playing, still training with the girls, and it's, you know, I just love it. I am the oldest in the team. I'm the grandma. and I've got all these, like, you know, 19, 21 year olds, but the girls are fantastic, and we just go out there and have fun, and we're just so keen to learn more and a different range of skill levels. But we've had so much fun, and we were so lucky that we won a premiership in our first year, which was super exciting. So, yeah, go the Wellers.
Well done. Now, one of the things that I always struggle with when we're trying to be, you know, unbiased football reporters is I just really want to talk about my own club constantly.
Yep.
And I would like the whole show to be about the Adelaide Crows, but no one lets me do that.
Why not? I know.
Yeah,
no, for obvious reasons.
do you have a team that you follow? And do you find it challenging to be unbiased about your own team?
Not really. I mean, I do have a team. I find that, if anything, I'm probably more critical of the team more than anyone else. I have partly this year covered it as my club beat. We each reporter at AFL.com.au has a club beat that they look after.
And the club is?
The club is the Brown and Gold Club.
Oh,
I know. I get that response all the time. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's an advantage because I do take an interest in the VFL side of things. So I watch the players coming through and develop. I probably know the team better than most. So, you know, it is an advantage in that sense when you're reporting. I don't love covering Hawthorn games. So I usually remove myself from that only because I still like to go to the footy and enjoy it as a fan and as a supporter. And I'm also a big barracker and you can't do that in the press box. So I usually avoid that. But, yeah, if anything, I'm harsher on the club rather than sort of being biased towards it, if that makes sense. But, yeah, it is hard separating that, especially when, you know, you get into an industry or you fall in love with a game because of a team. So it can be hard to separate, but you just got to do your best. But the reality is everyone has a footy team.
Well, that's right. And if they don't, there's something wrong with them. Well, Nat,
exactly.
Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your clearly precious time. It's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck for the rest of the season, and we hope to talk to you again.
No worries, ladies. Thanks so much for having me on. Love your show.
Thanks, Nat. Bye.
Thanks, Nat.
Bye.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Beck. I'm here with Bree and Motti. What a show, my friends.
It went so quickly.
It really did.
We played the full four quarters, didn't we?
I love talking about footy.
Thank you to Gaz for panelling for us and that amazing music. Motti, what do we have on our community notice board?
Well, we have, and we should have told Nat this, the Hawks Pride LGBTI supporter group have announced that their beanies have arrived this week.
Oh,
so
merch.
Everyone should get online to, I think it's Hawks Nest Online. .com.au. If I've got that wrong, contact the club and they'll direct you to how you can buy your beanie and then wear it with pride.
Or Hawks Pride on all the socials.
Oh, yeah, all that. Yes.
I've seen them. And join your team's LGBTI supporter group. Actually, a lot of them have merchandise and it's really fun.
It is. And, yes. I've got my Purple Bombers.
I've got one of them too. I've got one something from every club. You know what I'm like.
Bree's got her Golden Showers.
Well, on that note, my friends, it has been a real treat to be with you tonight.
I feel like I should clear that up. That is not the case, Motti. They're called Golden Tigers.
Oh, sorry. I got that wrong.
I feel like I should wrap you guys up quicker than I'm trying to. We hope your team wins in round four. We hope your footy tips are as terrible as mine. Thank you, Breezer. Thank you, Motti. Thank you, Gaz. Go Crows.
Thank you, Beck. Yeah.